You've tuned into the Crispy Noodle Podcast.
Do you realize what you've done?
With Rich Lee Big.
Aren't you hip to the rap music?
And Michael Costanzo.
The internet was speaking to me in tongues.
Unplanned, unscripted, and slightly unhinged.
Good times, noodle salad.
The point is, you now have the ability to be happy.
And now, here's Rich and Mike on the Crispy Noodle Podcast.
You and your patented screen.
I love doing this show. It's time for another episode of the Crispy Noodle Podcast. Woo!
What's up, everybody?
I'm Rich Liebig.
And I'm Michael Costanzo.
And we are here to bring you the best in sports, entertainment, and odd news. Let us be the Crispy Noodle and your vegetarian salad of life and boring news. I'm excited. I'm ready to go.
So am I.
We got a little bit of a jam-packed show for this episode. That's a lot right. to hit you with. A lot of news headlines going on.
Lots of stuff to cover. So, Rich, how have you been doing?
I'm doing good. Had a little bit of a vacation.
Yeah, we took a week off.
Yeah, but yeah, we had an episode ready for you guys.
That's right. We're always thinking about you guys, yeah. The loyal fans.
So, you Noodle know, Nation. Made it seem like. We didn't go on a short hiatus or anything.
Maybe I shouldn't have said that then.
But yeah, I went to see my girlfriend down the Eastern Shore of Maryland.
That's nice.
And it was a lot of fun.
Yeah.
I got to go in the ocean.
Yeah.
Which I got it. I've not been in the ocean in probably over 4 years.
Really?
Yeah. Because now that I'm legal enough to drink, whenever I go to the shore, it's usually just for like a bar or, you know, just,
right.
you know, wacky times down the
not
shore
actually
or something.
Hanging out on the beach.
Yeah. So this was like the first time that I got to, you know, actually be on the beach in quite a while. So it was pretty fun.
That's cool.
Yeah.
That's nice.
Actually swam in the ocean.
Wow.
Yeah. Forgot what that was like. But it was pretty cool. I liked
forgot
it.
The tasty, murky water of the Atlantic.
Yeah.
Yeah.
That delicious, salt water. Yeah.
Not just salt water.
Another garbage.
Another
yeah.
garbage.
Well, yeah. At least
anyway. Moving on.
Yeah. Well, at least, you know, I went to the Eastern Shore of Maryland, so at least it wasn't the Jersey Shore. All right. So, Mike, how are you doing?
I'm pretty good. Just trying to stay out of the heat during the intense July summer.
Yeah. It's been hot, but...
It has been.
Every now and then we get a day that that the heat breaks, and then it's nice.
Yeah.
And then we get, like, another 5 days of 100-degree weather. Just, ugh.
Must have been nice down the shore, though.
Yeah, you know, it's really the ocean, you know, because the
sea breeze and everything, yeah.
You know, and the moment you swim in the ocean, it feels like 10 degrees cooler.
Oh, yeah, that cools you right off.
Yeah, it felt pretty good at the beach, and luckily I didn't get sunburned, despite me being pretty white, you know. Yeah, this might come as a shock to some people, but I am white.
Aren't you hip to the rap music?
I know. You think with
I know.
You wouldn't think. With my experience in the rap industry, but no, I am white. I'm whiter than a ghost at this point.
These hoes, they think they classy. Well, that's the class I'm skipping.
See?
I would not have known. If I were just listening to that, I would have been like, oh, man, he is definitely not white.
Yeah.
I don't know what he is, but he's not white.
These hoes, they think they classy. Well, that's the class I'm skipping.
My short-lived rap career right there. All right. Now, before we start off the show, I know we got a jam-packed show. We've got so much ground to cover.
Okay.
But we have a major update that I need to address. This is just major updating that needs to be done. Major house cleaning.
Okay.
And it has to do with something that happened on an episode 2 weeks ago. For those that are just tuning into the phenomenon that is the Crispy Noodle Podcast. 2 weeks ago, while we were closing out the show, it was the week before 4th of July.
That's right.
And one of the things I like to make fun of Mike with is his making of sausages.
Yep.
It's his hobby. Right. He likes to make sausages.
We're sausage-making people.
And apparently, I make fun of him so much that his dad decided to come on and insist that for 4th of July, they're not having sausages. And this led to one of the best breakdowns ever on a podcast. So first off, we need to play the original clip just to get everyone acclimated
up to speed
to what happened. So
okay.
This is Mike's dad issuing the proclamation that there will be no sausages on the 4th of July. All right. Should I play it?
Yes, please.
All right. Let's relive the moment.
It's my dad.
Hey!
How are you doing, Mr. Costanzo?
I was going to say, tomorrow is the 4th of July, and I've been waiting all week to have a hot dog and a hamburger. And let me tell you, we're going to do it the American way. I'm going to get the hot dog right off the grill, the hamburger hot, right off the grill, instead of waiting, you know, for the whole meal. That's the way I want to do it. It's an American holiday. We're going to have American hamburgers. No sausages. No sausages. No sausages.
Is this because I make fun of Mike on the sausages?
No, it's American. No sausage.
So sausages aren't American?
And hot dogs and hamburgers are better than sausages. Sausages!
And I proceed to lose it there. One of the very few times that I lost it. And Mike did too. We both lost it. We didn't know where to go after that.
As you could tell, I didn't really say much during that segment because I was busy laughing.
Yeah. But you let your dad speak for himself. And that was what we got.
There's nothing to say about it.
Yes. And as a result, we have made fun of it. But apparently, this is everyone is liking this little bit that your dad did. Only a minute on the show, and it's taken off like wildfire here. And apparently, we have some musical remixes.
Oh, God.
That we need to play.
Okay.
In honor of that wonderful speech.
Oh,
against sausages.
My dad will love this.
All right. So first off, I've got just quote the sausage song.
Okay.
You know, I don't know if this is like I don't know if it's from a show or anything, but it's just called the sausage song.
Okay.
Sausages!
Can you see my lovely sausages?
Sausages!
Got a lot of different types.
Little ones and longer ones. They look like little meaty pipes.
Sausages!
I would like to eat my
sausages!
Sadly, we're raw.
Sausages!
Please keep your distance from the
sausages!
We'll show you the door.
Sausages!
Oh my God. What the hell was that?
Just the sausage song.
Sausages!
Featuring your dad.
Oh my God. He's always wanted to sing. So now he...
Well, wait.
Sort of has.
This gets better. We got one more. We got one more song here.
Okay.
And apparently, the great, the legend himself, Neil Diamond.
Oh no!
Has asked for your dad on his legendary patriotic song, America.
Oh man, this is going to be awesome.
We're going to do it the American way. I'm going to get the hot dog right off the grill. It's an American holiday. We're going to have American hamburgers
everywhere. Around the world, they come to America. Every time that flag's unfurled, they come to America. They come to America.
No sausages.
They come to America.
No sausages.
They come to America.
No sausages.
They come to America today.
It's American. No sausage.
Today.
It's American. No sausage.
Today.
It's American. No sausage.
Today.
Hot dogs and hamburgers are better than sausages.
Today.
Oh, man.
So there you go. A loving tribute. To the ultimate American, your dad.
Today. What do you say? Hot dogs and hamburgers.
There you go.
Wow.
The loving tribute to
my dad.
Mr. Patriot.
Mr. Patriot. He's like the everyman version of Captain America. Instead of fighting for justice, he fights for hot dogs and hamburgers.
Oh, my God.
Wow.
So there you go. I hope you like that, Mike.
That was incredible.
All because of your dad.
So my dad actually has auto-tune music of him now. That's how you know when you've made it big.
With Neil Diamond.
With Neil Diamond. Oh, wow. Ooh,
so I had to get that out of the way. We had to update you guys on that.
I can't believe that Neil Diamond invited my dad to sing with him.
Yeah.
Yeah.
He wanted it. Wow. Yeah.
That's awesome.
Such an epic performance.
Yeah, my dad the rocker.
No sausages. No sausages. No. No sausages. Sausages!
All right, so now that we got all the housekeeping...
Well, thank you for that trip, yeah, though.
Did you like that?
That was awesome, yeah.
All right.
Let's get moving. Yes, sir. Driver, prepare to move out.
What are you preparing? You're always preparing. Just go.
Let's go.
Yes, sir.
All right. Now, that's a reminder. We got to get going. Let's hit our first topic. It's time for some sports.
So you're not good at sports. It's a very small part of life.
Sports, 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 sports.
Woo!
All right.
Time for our sports sampler. Just our little collection of the most interesting tidbits that we found in the sports world. What's our first topic, Mike?
Well, as you know, we've covered golf a couple times on the show, and recently a pretty big event happened in the golfing community. They had the British Open.
Yes, the majestic British Open.
The majestic British.
What was that?
That was lightning.
Wow.
Oh, my God.
We might have picked a bad day to record.
Oh, my God.
All right, we just had a huge lightning bolt go right
through
the...
Did you see that?
Yeah. I lit up the room.
And you wanted to go golfing.
Yeah. Whoops.
Whoops.
But anyway, so, yeah. So we had the British Open over the weekend. It's one of the four major golf events.
That's right. One of the majors.
Yep.
Right?
And Phil Mickelson, old lefty... came out from the pack and on Sunday just won it in the last round with one of the arguably best finishes ever in a major. Pretty much, for those that know golf, he had four birdies in the last six holes of the event.
Wow.
And keep in mind, this major was in Scotland. And they said that day it was windy as hell. The greens weren't very well kept up with the weather. Players were struggling to keep par.
Wow.
Yeah. These professional athletes that devote all this time to golf were struggling to maintain par.
And these aren't just random golfers. These are the best of the best.
Yeah, exactly.
Second Lieutenant Jake Jensen, West Point, graduate with honors. We're here because you're looking for the best of the best of the best, sir.
Your boy Captain America over here. The best of the best of the best, sir. Yeah, with honors. You know, he's just really excited, and he has no clue why we're here.
Well, I bet you some golfers felt that way with the way the greens were and the wind. It was messing a lot of plays up.
But despite that... Phil Mickelson, you said four birdies in the last six holes?
Yeah.
That's incredible.
Uh-huh. When everybody in the field is struggling to maintain pars...
And you're consistently...
Yeah, Phil Mickelson shooting one under that. Like... Yeah.
Four out of the last six holes.
Yeah,
that's
he wanted this.
Wow.
And he just stormed on that last day to take the outright lead and just never looked bad.
And so he won the whole thing. He won the British Open.
Yeah, and this is kind of a huge deal for Phil Mickelson. This is his first British Open win.
Ah, cool.
So this is called the Grand Slam. If you're able to win each of the majors once in your career, you have a Grand Slam. Because the four majors are the Masters. The first one is the Masters.
Right.
The second one's the U.S. Open. The third one
we just had that, didn't we?
We just had that. That was here.
In the area, yeah.
Yeah, that was the one we just had. Then the third one's the British Open, and the fourth one's the PGA Championship.
Okay.
And Phil Mickelson has the Masters under his belt. He already won a PGA Championship, and now he has the British Open under his belt.
So now it's just the U.S. Open, then.
Yeah, and... Ironically, that's the major that Phil Mickelson has lost in second place. He's finished in second place six times.
Ah, oh, so close.
If that could be rounded up at all,
rounded up
to a U.S. Open, he would be a Grand Slam.
Look, guys,
champion.
I've come in second place six times. How about we just round that up?
Yeah,
okay. Just give me one victory.
Yeah, can we just round up? Yeah, six times. Can you imagine just how like.
That sucks.
You know. Luckily, though, he's only 43, so he's got a couple more years of major playing.
Yeah, because in golf, I mean, there's an age limit for everything, I guess. Eventually, your body just, you know, doesn't perform like the rest. But he's you can compete for a while with golf, can't you?
Well, the oldest I don't know if he was the oldest to win a major, but I remember Jack Nicklaus won the Masters when he was 46. That was his last major that he won.
So he's got.
I don't know if that was the oldest of all time, but I don't know, to match superstar statuses.
Right, right.
So yeah, it's great to see Lefty finally winning the British Open, and just the way he did it was just awesome.
By taking such a commanding lead with that. With those four birdies, right?
Yeah. And it kind of brought me back to something that we were watching game seven of the NBA Finals, and we mentioned a quote that one of the people said, that you don't win a game seven, you just survive a game seven.
That's a great quote.
This tournament this weekend was like that, because the weather was just out, was just messing everybody up.
Survival of the fittest.
And yeah, it just, for the first three rounds of this tournament, it was just surviving. Make sure you hit pars. Make sure you keep doing the basics. You don't let, you know, a bad hole throw the whole day out of whack.
Right, right.
This major was primarily about save opportunities, bouncing back from a hole that you probably did back on, or that you did bad on. And Lefty just not only maintained his presence, but then on Sunday just kicked it into high gear won it.
That's what matters, is being able to kick it into another gear when other players can't.
Yeah.
You hear that a lot, especially in, I know, going back to football, but especially in football, where they say, you know, he just kicks it into a higher gear. He kicks it into a higher gear. That's what separates the good from the great.
It was so good. It was good to see Phil Mickelson. And he's, you know, I don't mean to play favorites or anything, but Phil Mickelson is just a good guy.
yeah.
I mean, you know, he hasn't really had any. He's never had a scandal. He's never had.
Unlike certain other golfers.
Yeah, he's never had a scandal. He's never been linked to anything illegal. And
he's one of the guys you want to root for.
Yeah.
He's one of the good guys.
Right.
Right.
You know, and then coming off of the fact that, you know, six U.S. Opens, he can't, you know, he's always fallen a little short, including the one that was in Philadelphia.
He came in second, right?
Yeah, he was in the hunt for that one and just couldn't.
He'll get one eventually.
Or we'll round up.
Or round up.
We will round up.
He'll bribe the PGA. That'll be his first scandal.
Yeah, that'll be the only scandal he's in. Also, another interesting little thing that I saw was on the first day of the tournament, on Thursday, Phil Mickelson was in the middle, was in between shots on one of the holes, and he was walking to his next shot, and he noticed a little boy in the crowds who had a broken arm.
Right.
And he had a cast on.
Did he?
Phil Mickelson, keep in mind, this is another thing too. He's timed. He's being timed to get to the next shot.
Right.
Remember,
right.
There's a slow play penalty.
That's right. That poor 15-year-old kid or whatever.
So Phil Mickelson took the time out of this slow play, you know, that he could have got caught on slow play.
Right.
Took the time, went over to the kid, signed him a golf ball, and signed his cast.
That's awesome.
And then went to a shot and hit a shot.
That's such a feel-good story.
Yeah. Now, I know some people are probably like, oh, God, no big whoop. It's just golf. You just walk.
Well, wait. How many other golfers have you seen do that?
Yeah. In a major tournament play where you can get penalized for slow play, and that can knock you back a couple of...
Oh, yeah.
You know, a couple of places in the standings.
Yeah. Props to him for doing that. That's a real stand-up...
Yeah,
guy,
he is. He's just a good guy. He's just a guy you want to root for. And it was just so satisfying.
I'm glad that he won then.
Yeah. So it was not only great to see him win the British Open, but also just the way he took charge. It was just this... He just came back from the field and just stormed and won it. It was great.
Wow.
And you know, things were wrapped up on that 18th hole. He sunk the birdie putt, and he did this...
No offense, he did a white man jump. Like
he tried to jump, but he didn't get off the ground.
It was like lifting your heels off the ground.
Yeah, he's 43. He's not going to get much height, but it was so cool to see him that excited.
He's excited, yeah.
Yeah.
Little white guy jump.
Yeah. But couldn't happen to a nicer guy. Glad that he finally has the British Open under his belt.
Just
and now,
one more to go now, right?
Now he just needs one of those U.S. Opens to break his way.
Well, congratulations to Phil Mickelson winning the British Open. But then on the other side of the spectrum, you wanted to bring up Tiger Woods, and he's got sort of an issue here.
Yeah, on the other side of the spectrum, Tiger. The dynasty is kind of fading right now.
Yeah.
A lot of sports writers are worried that with this loss at the British Open. Tiger Woods has now gone officially 5 years without winning a major.
Wow.
This is a pretty long drought.
And like you pointed out, is that four every year? Four majors every year?
Yeah.
So technically, it's like 20 opportunities. Now, to put it
that is correct, to
put it in perspective, people are saying, oh, well, how many can you legitimately win? Are you expected to win one out of every 20? Well, I looked it up, and Tiger Woods has 14 overall majors victories.
Yes.
So, yes, in short, we are expecting him to win several of those.
The difference is Tiger Woods has said on multiple times he wants to be remembered as the best golfer to ever play the game.
Right.
And one of the criteria he has to hit is he's got to pass Jack Nicklaus in the overall major wins. He's got to. If he wants to legitimately stake a claim as the best golfer to ever play the game, he's got to pass Jack Nicklaus.
Yeah. You can't be the best unless you have the most wins, right? I mean,
yeah, I mean, especially in golf.
I mean, how could you make a case? Oh, I'm the best. Well, you didn't have more wins than this guy.
But it's worse for Tiger Woods because he has the anti-LeBron James problem. He has the complete opposite of the LeBron James problem because LeBron James, right, he never won a championship.
Right.
And then he sold his soul to the Miami Heat and he's winning championships. Yeah,
he went to the dark side. And now he's winning championships with them, and now it's kind of...
Now it's like, who cares?
Yeah.
Tiger Woods has a similar problem, but it's completely the opposite way.
He has a legacy of winning.
Right.
And now, all of a sudden, 20 in a row where he hasn't won.
Right.
I mean, that's a huge number.
Yeah. When he was first on the scene and just winning championship after championship, people were wondering, you know, how soon is he going to break Jack Nicklaus' record.
And now the conversation
is... And now it's turning if.
Yeah, if. Do you think all he needs to do is tie it? I think, because I was reading it earlier, is it 15 that he needs to get to?
18, I think.
Oh, 18. Oh, I was reading something different then. So he's got to get 18?
Yeah, he's got to win five more.
Yeah, because he can't just get to 18. He's got to get...
Four ties it, five...
He's got to get the fifth.
I think so. If he wants to really be remembered as, quote, the best golfer to ever play the game, he's got to go 19. He's got to hit it.
You got to win one more than the best guy.
Especially since he had such a head start. You know, this is what I was talking about. He won so many majors so early in his career that the expectation now is he should have hit 20. He should be hitting 20 plus by now.
What type of toll does that take on the athlete to go 20 majors and not win one? That's like going, like the Eagles, going 20 years and not getting to the Super Bowl.
That's not like the Eagles, because the Eagles have been bad since, forever.
Bad example, but I was just using a local example.
I would say it would be more like the Yankees in the 80s. The Yankees were so used to winning, were so used to having legendary superstars. Right. And then in the 80s, they just sucked. They just sucked. Every year was just... It wasn't until Steinbrenner came along and you know, made it a Gestapo baseball organization, but they won.
Did you say Gestapo baseball organization?
Yeah.
Are you saying that the Yankees are Nazis?
No, they are the evil empire, all right?
Emperor Palpatine. But
that's what Steinbrenner was.
Yeah, get him the black robes and the cloak, right?
You know, hey, Steinbrenner, if you weren't producing for Steinbrenner, you're gone. Yeah. He didn't play around.
But back to the original point. What type of pressure must there be on Tiger Woods right now? It's been 5 years. I mean, it just keeps mounting on him.
Yeah, with every major that he doesn't win, it just keeps piling and piling.
Do you think he'll ever get back into it? I mean, 5 years is a long time, especially for a sport like golf, where you have four opportunities every year.
I feel like he will eventually at some point. But lately, his play has just been, like, for example, at the British Open, he was in it until the beginning of Sunday, the beginning of the last round, and he was just not doing good with his irons. His shots weren't falling around the green where he needed them to be. Instead, they were falling in some heavy duty rough and sand traps.
So he just started falling apart then.
Yeah.
Like you said, you don't win it, you survive it.
Right.
And he didn't survive.
Yeah. As a matter of fact, someone noted that it was kind of like the opposite of what it used to be like in the early 2000s. It used to be Tiger that would be the one that would be storming the last day.
Right.
Throwing up birdie after birdie after birdie in those last holes to win a major. And Phil Mickelson was the one that would be like kind of having problems with the wind and everything. And,
and now going it's reversed.
Home. And now the roles have been reversed for this weekend.
And this all goes back to, I hate to bring this up like this, but it goes back to the controversy that he had several years ago. That's when the troubles sort of started, wasn't it?
Yeah, I mean, it's hard to
deny. Yeah,
I mean, the whole infidelity scandal that he went through surfaced at the end of 2009, and the last time he won a U.S. Open was the last time he won a major was the U.S. Open in 2008. So, I mean, it's hard not to link it. He still hasn't bounced back from it.
It's just a coincidence that his slump started right when the scandal broke. Do you think that's really taken more of a toll on him than he cares to admit? The whole scandal and subsequent, he split with his wife, correct?
Yeah, he had all that happen.
Right.
But also, he did have to go through, there was also an injury at some point. I believe it was...
Oh, that's right.
Yeah, he had an injury.
Okay, so it's not just all that.
Yeah, he injured his leg at the Masters tournament in 2011. And that kind of knocked him out that whole year. So there was 1 year due to injury. Okay. There's also another year where he lost his caddy. He had a big breakup with his longtime caddy. And
it's easy to sort of brush that off because I did when it first happened. But then I learned that the caddy is a big part of the game, actually.
Oh yeah, your caddy is your right hand man.
Right,
your caddy
almost has
all your notes,
an advisor of sorts.
Yeah, he's the one telling you what club you should use.
Right, I read an article once about how they're the ones that figure out the slope and the distance, and you should use this club as opposed to this one, and you should approach this hole like that. Right?
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Am I right in that?
Yes.
Yeah. And I learned that when that went down because I thought, oh, who cares, caddy, you know.
But yeah, it can change your game.
It seems like one bad incident after another for Tiger.
Yeah, and it's preventing him from adding to his list of majors.
So maybe next year. Do you think next year he'll get back into it?
Well, we got one more left this year. We've got the PGA Championship.
I don't know, though.
Yeah.
This year might just be done.
Yeah, this year might be another year where Tiger doesn't win a major.
Right.
But, you know... On the flip side, though, Tiger Woods is only 37, so he's got another.
Yeah, we're talking about Phil Mickelson having another couple of years.
Tiger's got another 10 years or so.
Another decade, easy. Yeah.
Yeah. So I mean, if at his rate, he just needs to win one every 2 years, and he'll be all right.
Yeah, and there's four opportunities every year. You said.
Yeah.
So.
But it's just.
So he has 40 more opportunities.
Just about. Assuming everything goes. Right, yeah, and he doesn't get injured or anything.
That's the best course of action.
Yeah, but it's just there's just a big question mark right now in Tiger Woods. Can he still win a major during this late in his career? So we'll see.
Only time will tell.
All right, so there you go. Enough golf talk. I'm sure you're happy, Mike.
For someone that doesn't know anything about golf, I think I did.
Yes, you did. You did a great job. Yeah,
thank you.
Yeah.
I try. I'm learning a lot doing this show talking about golf. We should be like golf analysts.
Yeah. Hey, I wanted to go golfing. And
I know.
Until this thunderstorm happened. You want to go golfing?
I know. You said, I don't want to do the show. Let's go golfing.
it was nice out this morning.
It was pretty nice. All right, enough about the weather. In other sports news, let's get back to the big four here. There's some news in the NHL. We had talked about this a while ago, a couple months ago.
We talked about it when there was rumors of this, but now it's official.
Now it's confirmed. It's official. The 2013-2014 season will adopt a realignment of the divisions and a new playoff structure.
Yeah, this was much needed, and I don't think... people are thinking of the logistics of teams flying to play other teams and all the costs that go with that.
Right.
Because really the driving force behind this new realignment with the National Hockey League was transportation. You know, you just have five teams in Canada. You have four teams in the southwest corner of America.
Right.
Then you have like 20 teams in the Philadelphia, New York, New Jersey, Ohio area.
Right. And you know, it's something that I didn't take into account, but I'm looking at the map right now. They have a nice little color-coded map. And some of these teams are so far away. You're looking at teams that are on the west coast of Canada. And, you know, there are teams that are in Florida. I mean,
yeah. And before this realignment happened, you faced every team almost equally. The only right. teams you faced more often were
division opponents.
Yeah. So, I mean, this really needed to get done for the sake of reducing travel costs and for the sake of just establishing where the line was going to be with the Eastern Conference, the Western Conference, and the divisions that will now be created.
And you know what? I think I like this, grouping them by relatively the correct geographic area. That's always been one of my, not complaints, but one of the things I thought was weird with other sports is that the divisions are sort of like all over the place.
Yeah.
You know,
the titles of the division in most sports actually don't really
they don't make any
match,
sense whatsoever.
Match up.
And I'm just, to use the Eagles as an example, NFC East, you have Dallas in there.
Yeah. Though at least the NFL, they when they did their realignment in 2002, they specifically said that this realignment was devoted to rivalries. It wasn't
right.
devoted
yeah,
to...
Yeah, right. It's about the rivalries.
It wasn't devoted to location.
Right. And I wouldn't...
And the NFL is so huge that teams can get away with it. They right. can travel back and forth. They've right. hit that status that they can spend all their money freely on traveling back
and
forth.
They're the biggest sport in America
yeah.
right now.
But the National Hockey League is hurting between the strikes that they've had.
I know. Every other year, it's yeah. like there's a strike.
They've been hurting. They yeah. really needed to do something, and this is the first step.
I'd say out of the Big Four, they're probably the least amongst the Big Four. I mean, not
either them or NBA.
Yeah, but you see, NBA has those really big markets like the Lakers.
Yeah, I guess so.
Right? I mean, I guess
it's either
guess,
one of them. They're yeah. they're at the bottom, whichever one.
Well, football is clearly the top, and baseball yeah. has a pretty strong hold on second.
Yeah.
Depending on where you are, it could go either way.
So let's go over the list here. For the Western Conference, there will be a Pacific division featuring Anaheim, the Anaheim Ducks, the Calgary Flames, the Edmonton Oilers, the LA Kings, also known as the Flyers West, the Phoenix Coyotes, the San Jose Sharks, and the Vancouver Canucks. Then they will also have the Central Division featuring the Chicago Blackhawks, the defending Stanley Cup champions, Colorado Avalanche, Dallas Stars, Minnesota Wild, Nashville Predators, the St. Louis Blues, and the new Winnipeg Jets. They played their first season last year. Then in the Eastern Conference, we have two major divisions here. There will be the Atlantic Division, which will feature the Boston Bruins, the Buffalo Sabres, the Detroit Red Wings, the Florida Panthers, the Montreal Canadiens, the Ottawa Senators, the Tampa Bay Lightning, and the Toronto Maple Leafs. And then, last but of course not least, the division that the Flyers are going to be in, Mike's favorite new division.
Doesn't make a lick of sense.
The Metropolitan Division.
The Metropolitan Division.
Now that's a name for a sports division.
Yeah.
This division features the Carolina Hurricanes, the Columbus Blue Jackets, the New Jersey Devils, the New York Islanders, the New York Rangers, the Pittsburgh Penguins, the Washington Capitals, and your own Philadelphia Flyers. Woo!
The only team I recognize. I'm kidding.
Well,
not
you're,
really.
You're a Seinfeld fan. You should know the Devils.
Yeah, I know the
Devils. We're the Devils!
I love that. Whenever I think of the New Jersey Devils, I think of just Putty running around the streets just in his Devils paint. We're the Devils! Ah!
Good old Seinfeld.
Yeah.
But you know what I think is interesting looking at this realignment is that the Western Conference has two divisions of seven teams.
Yeah.
And the Eastern Conference has two divisions of eight teams.
Yes.
Why?
Well, I mean, it was just...
I mean...
They had to split it... First off, they had to split the conferences evenly, and then they had to split the divisions evenly.
But now you have a much better chance of making the playoffs in the Western Conference than in the Eastern Conference.
I mean, it is a little unfair, but...
You're taking eight teams out of 14, right? That's more than half.
Yeah, in the Western Conference.
In the Western Conference, right. Mm-hmm.
But, you know, hockey mentality, though, there's a lot of just grin and bear it, you know?
Yeah.
There's going to be a lot of...
They have that attitude where it's like, we're the toughest.
Yeah, there's going to be a lot of of attitude that, you know what, just play your division.
Just deal with it.
There's a lot of deal with it. You know, this is the division that you're in, you know, deal with it. And also, the way that the playoffs are set up are going to be primarily based with your division. You are supposed to just worry about your division the way that
that's
this is
true.
Set up.
You said three teams from each division, correct?
Yeah, for those that don't know, the way you make it into the playoffs is you have to try and be in the top three in your division. If you're in the top three in your division, you're guaranteed a playoff spot. Then, after those spots have been given to those teams, then the 7 and 8 seeds in each conference's playoffs will be given to the next highest score, the highest records in those conferences. So you could see 5 teams from one division make it and 3 teams make it from another division, or it could be 4 and 4. It depends on how the records break down.
Like other sports, it's more focused on division play.
Yes, that was the ultimate goal of this.
Right.
You worry about your division.
Yeah, worry about the people that you are competing directly against first.
Yeah, and I like that. I like it when a sport uses a division and sticks to it.
Right.
That was one of the best things I thought that football had nailed down.
Yeah.
That if you win your division, you get a home game.
Their playoff structure, I think the NFL should be a model for the other leagues. I think they've very rarely do we complain, oh, you know, that 10-6 team shouldn't have made it. Occasionally. Sometimes.
Once in a blue moon.
But usually
when a 7-9 team makes it.
Yeah.
You know?
Well,
it happens.
That's just a matter of that division being so weak.
Yeah, it happened.
It happened. But then you have other sports where, like basketball, you have lots of teams with sub-500 records making it.
Yeah, because they just take the top 8 records in each conference. They don't really do division.
Right. So that's
technically they do, but they really don't. When it all fits together on the big board, the big tournament board, it really doesn't factor that much.
So there's a sport that needs to adopt this mindset.
Yeah.
If any of them. But I think these are good moves for hockey.
Yeah, okay. I mean first of all, on a financial front, it's gonna save all these teams lot of travel money.
Definitely.
Number two, it's gonna make the divisions more fun to watch. You're gonna watch 4 different division races.
Right.
And you know, I feel like relatively every rivalry is still together.
Right.
Especially the Flyers. I feel like all of the Philadelphia rivals are just stuck in this division.
It's true. I'm looking at the map right
Penguins,
now.
Penguins, Rangers, Devils, Islanders, great. Let's bring them all on at this point.
Yeah, I'm looking at the map and you've got...
Only the Boston Bruins are the only other main rival of the Flyers that isn't in our division after the realignment.
I think they did a good job geographically of... not only maintaining the rivals, but sort of organizing everything.
Yeah. It needed it.
Yeah.
Good job by the National Hockey League. I approve. Do you approve?
I approve.
All right. Stamp of approval. Woo!
We're the Crispy Noodle Podcast, and we approve of this realignment.
I'm Commander Shepard, and this is my favorite podcast on the Citadel.
Oh, there we go. Well, we had Commander Shepard approve of us.
That's
so
right.
There we go.
He approved of us. We approve of them.
It's all good.
It all works out.
I love this goat right now. And Mike loves goats.
We are the official spokespeople for goat.
All right, so there you go. Golf and hockey. Do you want to talk about two extremes of the sports spectrum? We really crossed that one.
The most polite sport and one of the most violent sports.
Yeah. Well, I don't know. Golf can be pretty rude at times.
Well, yeah, when you get
Sergio
racism.
Garcia. Yeah, we Sergio Garcia.
Well, serve him fried chicken.
Oh, yeah.
What?
The Tiger Woods. Oof. That was a bad comment.
Yeah.
So... yeah.
Golf is more proper, I think would be the better word.
Yes, proper.
But
there, you go.
There can be some pretty bad times.
Yeah.
Though you're not going to see anyone take their 3 wood and club somebody else with it.
I think, speaking of redoing the sports.
Uh-oh, Mike's got an idea.
I think you get off the 18th hole and you have to battle the top 3 golfers. Like in a little fight. It's like the 19th hole.
The 19th hole, yeah. Coming soon to NBC,
the 19th hole. What happens when the top 3 golfers square off against each other?
This is so bad.
That would be so bad.
Yeah.
So I guess that about wraps it up for the sports sampler.
That's right. It's time for the next segment, our entertainment entree.
Entertainment entree. know some women who could hide a machine gun in there.
Yeah.
Oh, should we explain that?
Let's just leave it with no context. Now, do you want to explain it? You can if you want to.
Last week on our show, we had a story about a woman who hit a gun in her...
You know where.
Yeah, you know where. Not the butt.
No.
The other place.
Hoo-ah!
Yeah, there you go.
There you go, Al Pacino.
Well put, Mr. Pacino.
Hoo-ah!
Yeah, and...
So she hit a gun up there, and...
And the news reporter covering the story says that he knew... He also knew women who could fit machine guns up there.
Wow.
I know some women who could hide a machine gun in there.
Yeah.
Yeah, so...
He hangs out with an interesting crowd.
Yeah.
Hoo-ah!
Thank you, Mr. Pacino, for helping us describe it.
Well, you know what? I don't think that news anchor will be winning an Emmy anytime soon.
No, I don't think so either. But speaking of Emmys, that brings us to our topic that we wanted to discuss here in the Entertainment Entree. So the Television Academy recently announced all of the nominations for this year's Emmy Awards. And this is a pretty big deal.
You got to love a good award show.
Yeah. This is essentially the Oscars of TV.
That's right. It's a big deal.
Yes, it is.
For a lot of actors and a lot of production staffs and whatnot.
The big story is that Netflix officially can be nominated for these awards, which people were having a serious question about that. I mean, Netflix isn't broadcasted on network TV.
True.
I mean, should it be?
But you
should
also,
it be in the same running as AMC, PBS, HBO shows?
Hold on. You also have a slew of exclusive content on Netflix, which is getting a lot of notoriety. House of Cards, for one.
Yep.
They have a new prison drama. They have a fantasy. They reinvigorated Arrested Development.
They brought that back
from the dead. I'm a huge Arrested Development fan. So why not? Shouldn't you recognize the value of TV shows wherever they are, be it on TV or Netflix?
Yeah, I think so. I don't mind the Netflix nominations.
Neither do I. I mean, but are you going to discredit something as awesome as Arrested Development or House of Cards because it's on Netflix?
No, and I'm glad House of Cards got nominated. It is a great show.
I will say this about House of Cards. It's been in my instant queue forever. I've been waiting to watch it. I watched the first 10 minutes of the first episode, and I said, wow, this is an awesome show.
Yeah.
If I can tell that from the first 10 minutes, you know that you're in for a treat.
Well, I would say go and make deal on that because it's a good show. Well, let's get to the nominees. Since we're on House of Cards,
speaking of House of Cards,
I'll just go with the first one: Outstanding Drama Series. The nominees are Breaking Bad, Downton Abbey, Game of Thrones, last year's winner Homeland, House of Cards, and previous winner Mad Men. That's a stacked lineup.
That
They're
is
all
tough.
Great shows,
and I have not watched any of them. So,
No,
I've watched a few episodes of Breaking Bad. Again, it's like I have Breaking Bad all set aside in my instant queue.
All of these are your instant queues.
No, they are. And I have HBO. I don't know why I'm not watching Game of Thrones. But yeah, I have Mad Men, Breaking Bad, and House of Cards in my instant queue. It's just a matter of getting through 6-7 seasons of these shows, you know?
Well, they're all good. They all had good seasons.
All of them
deserving. I'm interested to see who wins. That is a stacked lineup. All of those are great shows.
Really are. Those are some heavy hitters right there.
Yeah. For Outstanding Comedy Series, we've got 30 Rock, The Big Bang Theory, Girls from HBO, Louie from FX, Modern Family, and Veep also from HBO. That's been getting acclaim from Seinfeld alumni Julia Louis-Dreyfus.
That's right. My personal favorite, though, of the bunch has got to be Modern Family. I don't know if you're a fan of Modern Family.
I've when it comes on, I'll watch it, but I don't go out of my way to.
Yeah, you don't follow it?
Yeah.
I think it's hilarious. It's one of the better scripted comedies on TV right now, in my opinion. Just very smart humor, funny characters. They usually all get nominated, don't they?
Modern Family is usually pretty big. Yeah.
The characters, even though, usually get a lot of nominations.
Yeah. 30 Rock just ended, right?
Yeah, the whole series.
Yeah, so would it be something to go for them to go out with a win?
I think that would be nice. Speaking of, I was just mentioning how the Modern Family actors and actresses get a lot of nominations. Outstanding Supporting Actor in a Comedy Series, Modern Family has 3 of the 6 nominations.
Yeah, there you go.
So they're almost guaranteed.
Yeah.
I mean, when you have 50% of the nominations there, and even the actress, they have two actresses nominated for, well, Best Supporting Actress in a Comedy Series.
Yeah. Well, there you go. Shows you it's a good lineup then.
It is a good lineup.
Here's another interesting one. Outstanding Miniseries or Movie. The nominees are American Horror Story Asylum on FX. Behind the Candelabra on HBO. That was the Liberace biopic.
That's right.
The Bible on History. Wow. You want to go from one side of the spectrum to the other.
Talk about two contrasting viewpoints, huh?
Yeah. The Bible on History channel. The Phil Spector documentary on HBO, which featured Al Pacino. Good old Al making a stand here.
Hoo-ah!
Yeah, that's what he proudly said.
had to throw that in there.
Of course.
Political Animals on the USA Network and Top of the Lake on the Sundance Channel. I don't know.
I've heard a lot of good things about, funny enough, the two contrasting ones, Behind the Candelabra and The Bible.
The most conservative documentary ever versus the gayest documentary ever.
No, but I've heard good things about both of them. I don't know if I'm particularly interested in either one of them, but I've heard good things.
Yeah, and American Horror Story is also pretty good, too.
Right,
so,
and that's a TV show, too, isn't it?
Yeah, but it's a miniseries. It's a miniseries? They're not on a regular showrunner status.
Okay, okay. Yeah, because I've heard very good things about that as well.
That's why it's in the miniseries category. Right. They don't have a regular cast. So, I mean, that's going to be interesting to see which one prevails there. Now, here's something I wanted to get to, and this is going to tear at my heart so much.
Okay.
Literally, some of my favorite characters right here. Outstanding lead actor in a drama series. First off, we got Hugh Bonneville as Robert Crawley. Downton Abbey, I feel like I need to give it more time to develop. I'm not too crazy about it yet, but I feel like I might be if I get the chance to watch a couple more seasons of it. Then Bryan Cranston as Walter White on Breaking Bad. He that's an epic role.
Oh yeah.
Wait, it gets better. Then recent phenomenon, Jeff Daniels as Will McAvoy on The Newsroom. That's a personal favorite of mine. I love The Newsroom.
The Newsroom is one of my favorite shows. It's on right now, actually.
Yeah.
In the middle of its second season.
Then John Hamm as Don Draper in Mad Men. That also clings to me. Then Damian Lewis as Nicholas Brody on Homeland, he's just been stellar on that show. And I think he might have won last year, if I remember correctly. I know Homeland won Best Drama.
Homeland is a very hot show.
Yeah,
it's on fire.
Thank you, Fallout Boy.
And then to wrap it up, they nominated Kevin Spacey as Frank Underwood from House of Cards. I mean, just
on Netflix.
Oh, all of those actors, they're pulling my heartstrings. I can't choose. I don't know which one wins.
I would go for Jeff Daniels in The Newsroom, but that's because that's the show that I have the most experience with. But he does a phenomenal job in that.
Yeah, Jeff Daniels has really come through for The Newsroom. And to be honest with you, if Jeff Daniels didn't pull off the part of Will McAvoy right, this show would not have had a second season.
Right.
This show is Will McAvoy.
He's intelligent, gruff, and lovable all at the same time.
If he wasn't able to pull off the character, that show would not have had a second season. That show would have just faded out.
Right.
It would have been just a failed pilot experiment for
HBO.
Yeah, and
Aaron Sorkin.
Aaron Sorkin. Yeah, right. It would have just been a failed project.
Is Aaron Sorkin nominated for anything?
I don't know.
When you think about the show, The Newsroom, nothing really happens, and yet you can't stop watching. Is that a testament to his ability as a writer and a director?
I think so. No, he didn't get nominated.
He didn't get nominated?
For writing, no.
That's a shame. I think he should have.
Nope. Two episodes of Breaking Bad got nominated for that.
Really?
Yeah. Well, let me go to another one that's also an interesting status that we got to take a look here. Outstanding lead actor in a miniseries or movie. And the reason I'm bringing this up, not only because Al Pacino is in it for Phil Spector. It's also because we have the two lead actors in Behind the Candelabra, Matt Damon and Michael Douglas, both nominated for their roles in the movie. which might actually be a hindrance, because what tends to happen is when you have two people nominated from the same work,
right,
they tend to split the vote.
Exactly.
So even
especially for a lead actor.
Yeah, it usually tends to split the vote.
If it was supporting, then quite possibly one of them could win. But if they're both lead, here's the thing. How can you say that they're the best lead actor when their counterpart also got nominated?
Yeah.
Right?
It's tough to make the distinction.
Now, with supporting actors, you can say, okay, since they're not the center of it, they're not the lead actor or actress. But when you're the lead, I think that that's actually a hindrance.
Yeah. It's going to probably split the vote, and they're probably not going to win. But it's cool that they both got nominated, because that was an intense movie.
Did you see it?
Yes, I did.
Was it good?
I've heard good
things about it.
It actually is a good...
You know going into it, that's what it's going to be about.
Yeah.
You're not going to be, oh my God, what is this?
It shouldn't surprise you that Liberace's gay.
What?
What? I was not expecting that.
I was expecting a nice conservative biopic. Instead, I was treated to this. No, you know what you're getting yourself into.
Yeah, you should. So, I mean, some good races going on here. I'm trying to see if there's any other...
House of Cards is really taking it away. They got...
House of Cards is a good show.
I'm just noticing, scrolling through this, outstanding directing for a drama series, House of Cards. So, what will happen to the market and people's perception of TV if Netflix series start taking away all these Emmys? Could Netflix then wield more power and say, hey, listen, you want your content on our service?
Yeah, I mean, this would be the best bounce back from that whole debacle with the splitting the
Quickster.
Netflix and the DVD services.
Could they then use that power and go to the movie publishing houses, the TV publishers, and say, look, you want your content on our service? Because now we're bringing in viewers from our Emmy award-winning shows. So HBO, if you give us your shows too, they will drive more traffic to your services.
Yeah, why not? It will give more power to them, yeah.
That's been the problem, is a lot of people have been pulling out of Netflix, or they've been saying, oh, you can watch it after 28 days or 30 days. So now maybe it puts more power back
to Netflix.
To Netflix.
Yeah,
Netflix subscriber, I think that's amazing.
It'll definitely put more emphasis on their original content. They're going to want to expand it more.
Maybe on digital distribution in general. Why should publishers worry about getting on TV when they can do it straight through Netflix?
Yeah.
You know. I don't know.
You don't need TV.
You don't need TV.
Yeah.
You don't need to deal with splitting the cost with ABC or NBC or whatever. You can just go straight to Netflix. I mean, obviously, you're going to have to give them a cut. But I don't know. It'll be interesting.
Let's go to this one, hosting category, outstanding host for a reality TV show. We've got Tom Bergeron, I think is how you say his name, Dancing with the Stars, Anthony Bourdain for The Taste, Kat Deely for So You Think You Can Dance, Heidi Klum and Tim Gunn for Project Runway, Ryan Seacrest for American Idol, and Betty White for Betty White's Off Their Rockers.
I'm sorry. I accidentally saw part of that show once, and it was not funny or interesting. The Betty White Off Their Rockers?
No?
No. I don't know.
What is it like? Is it
It's
just...
like old people doing pranks, but...
It's old people jackass.
Yeah, essentially. But it's not very funny.
No?
No. It's just old people taking advantage of young people.
That's the show.
I mean, really, yeah. It's
Betty White's Old People Take Advantage.
Maybe I'm
coming this summer.
Maybe I'm missing the point of it. I don't know. I don't watch any of those shows. But Ryan Seacrest has got to win it, I think. He's been doing it for forever, right?
Yeah, but it doesn't necessarily guarantee you a win.
I guess not. True. I think he's the most notable out of all of them.
What
about most outstanding reality program? Do you know something interesting? Two dancing shows and a singing show.
And what were you expecting something else?
No, I'm
that
just,
doesn't surprise me.
No, I'm just saying, out of all the reality shows, it just, I don't know. Is anybody else sick of the dancing and singing shows? Or is it just me?
Well, I am too, but apparently it's not what the American people agree with. Or else they wouldn't have put them on, you know?
I just don't get it. Hopefully Amazing Race wins. They always win. Do you watch The Amazing Race?
No.
It's a very interesting show.
So to go by the numbers here, if we want to establish the final tally, HBO leads the major nominations with 37, followed by NBC with 22, then Showtime with 17.
And you know, that's really funny because the joke is that NBC has no quality programming.
Yeah, that's right.
I like NBC.
And yeah, they got 22 Emmy noms.
They have all my comedies on there. At least they did. Now The Office is gone.
And 30 Rock.
And 30 Rock.
By program, 30 Rock has the most major noms with 9, followed by a tie between Breaking Bad, Modern Family, and Saturday Night Live.
Wow.
With so 8.
Is Saturday Night Live making a comeback?
Maybe.
But there's Modern Family again, you said, right?
Yeah, Modern Family with 8. Then it's Downton Abbey, Homeland, and Mad Men with 7. Behind the Candelabra just itself got 6 altogether. Because wow. 2 for that best acting category right there.
Right.
And then 5 is a long tie between American Horror Story, Asylum, Game of Thrones, Louis, Phil Spector, and Top of the Lake. And then 4 between Girls, House of Cards, The Big Bang Theory, The Good Wife, and Veep. So there you go. It'll be interesting to see who pulls off these wins on September 22nd for the 65th annual Primetime Emmy Awards.
And HBO, you had mentioned that they had, what was it, 37 nominations?
HBO had 37 major nominations.
Coming through again with the quality programming.
Yeah, HBO, they just always put on good work.
I really want to watch Game of Thrones. But I love reading, and so I kind of wanted to read the books first, which probably will never happen.
No, I heard they're thick like a brick.
But I like fantasy.
Yeah, that might work out for you, yeah.
Maybe. But the problem is, I don't want to wait so long to read the books and then the TV show be like 4 years old. You know? Maybe I'll just watch the TV show and see what it's about.
But yeah, so there you go. I find these award shows interesting.
I think they're a lot of fun.
Yeah, it'll be fun, and it'll be fun to watch it when September rolls around. But personally, I'm just gonna have that outstanding lead actor in a drama series is gonna kill me. I don't know who should win that one.
Yeah,
that really is all of my favorite characters bunched together.
You know what? I'm gonna say it's gonna be Breaking Bad. Bryan Cranston for Breaking Bad.
Has he won before?
Part of me wants to say yes, and part of me wants to say no because I have no idea. I really don't know.
Yeah, 2008, outstanding lead actor in a drama series. Yeah, so he's won before.
I think he won
in 2009. Wow, back to back.
Oh, I think he's due for another one, and I think they'll give it to him because the show is going off the air.
Whereas Newsroom is in its second season, Mad Men has its last season next year, House of Cards has been signed on for another season, and I don't know about Homeland or
Homeland's probably not slowing down anytime soon.
Yeah, they shouldn't. That's been
Newsroom
very
seems
good.
Too new. Mad Men is sort of in the middle of everything, and the other ones, like you said, are either too new, just like not too new, but you know, in no danger of going anywhere. So Breaking Bad really makes sense to me.
Yeah,
you always want to honor the people that are going out. You ever feel like certain people win just because they haven't won anything in a while? Like, did Martin Scorsese win for like that stupid movie that he just put out, Hugo?
No. Martin Scorsese won for The Departed.
The Departed.
You're talking about the Oscars when?
Yeah. I thought he won for Hugo too.
No. The story with Martin Scorsese was everyone thought he was supposed to win for Goodfellas. Yeah. Everyone thought he was supposed to get.
He was supposed to.
And Dancing with Wolves. Dancing with Wolves stole it from them during that year, and. Yeah, he never won a Best Directing Oscar, and people were thinking it's been long overdue, and a lot of people thought that led to him winning Best Director and Best Picture for The Departed.
See, I think Goodfellas is maybe a little bit better than The Departed.
Yeah, I would say so. Goodfellas is just almost a perfect movie when you look at it.
Yeah, but Dancing with Wolves, obviously.
But don't knock The Departed. That's a good movie, too.
Oh, no. The Departed is a very good movie.
And I think that's worthy of Best Picture.
Yeah, but I think he should have gotten it for Goodfellas.
Oh yeah, of course.
He should have won. I don't remember what The Departed was up against that year. Was it 2006?
It was 06.
Okay, it went up against Babel, Letters from Iwo Jima, Little Miss Sunshine, and The Queen. So
yeah, I say that wins it.
The only other one that I say, I mean, Little Miss Sunshine was really good, but I don't know about best
picture. Does it beat The Departed? No, I don't think so.
I mean, Don't knock it, man. Little Miss Sunshine's really good.
But I don't think it's
not better,
better
than
Departed.
No.
But anyway, so there you go.
Anyway, yeah.
We're getting way off topic there with Martin Scorsese. You know what? You get me started on Martin Scorsese here.
I'm more interested in the Oscars than the Emmys.
Well, I mean, it's movies, you know? Yeah. It's also harder to keep up on a TV show than it is on a movie. Go 2 hours, boom, you know what the movie is.
A lot of TV shows that I watch are like half-hour comedies because they're easy to get into and they're easy to follow. Like the hour-long dramas, there's much more of a commitment. The only one that there were a few that I followed, but not that many. That's why I always say I have to watch Mad Men, I have to watch Breaking Bad, I have to watch...
Yeah, it's harder to catch up on a TV show than it is a movie. So that's a natural feeling among people.
Yeah.
All right, and with that, we'll go to our next topic in the entertainment entree.
Speaking of TV and TV shows, some big news, I think, for fans of animation. It was recently announced at Comic-Con that The Simpsons and Family Guy will have a crossover episode.
What?
That's right. The Simpsons will be appearing on an episode of Family Guy in which the Griffins go on a road trip and end up in Springfield.
Oh, so that is so apparently that is going to meet up with...
No!
That's right.
It's a cross between...
No!
Fantastic.
That's exactly what it is. This is pretty big news.
I mean, yeah.
The two major heavyweights
of Fox, cartoon
animation,
programming.
Yeah.
You know?
You know the joke is always, oh, The Simpsons did it first. When you talk about Family Guy.
Or South Park, right?
It's always The Simpsons did it first. Now, The Simpsons are going to be on Family Guy.
Yeah.
So now if Family Guy were to go to The Simpsons, they would say, oh, Family Guy did it first.
So are you excited for it?
Oh, I am. The two of my favorite animated shows. I still watch both of them regularly.
Now, some people are saying that it's kind of a gimmick because...
Oh, sure, it's a gimmick.
Because lately both of their shows... Not tanking, but their viewership has declined in the last couple of years.
I agree. They're not as popular as they used to be. The Simpsons, of course, were huge in the 90s. Oh, my gosh.
You came home and you watched The Simpsons.
Oh, yeah. You watched the reruns before dinner every single night. It was like 6 o'clock and 7:30 or something like that. And every weekend they would have a new episode, right?
Yeah.
But Family Guy in the early part of the 2000s, and the middle of the 2000s was really big. But now, I don't know, is there a natural shift away from animation, I guess?
Maybe. But that doesn't explain shows like Archer that are popular
right now.
Archer
is very popular. That's more adult-oriented, though, isn't it?
Yeah. Yeah, they air that after 10 o'clock.
Right.
Yeah.
The Simpsons and Family Guy are a little more family-friendly.
Yeah.
So I guess...
Well, The Simpsons, I remember reading a study that said something like they were the most moral... show on television right
now.
Oh,
I believe it.
Like when it came to morality, they were the show. They were number one on.
I definitely believe it. Look, you have a family that they depict going to church almost every Sunday. You have, no matter what happens, they all get back together. They always stand by each other. You don't have it like, you know. Of course, Homer strangles Bart, but we both know that Homer loves Bart legitimately, whereas Peter Griffin farts in Meg's face. Hits her with cars.
Yeah. What is
tells up? Her to shut up. I don't know what the...
What is up with Meg? Yeah, they never
know.
They never,
you know what's funny?
Do anything with her.
Meg is voiced by Mila Kunis.
Really?
Yeah. Now try funny. And work out that image in your head.
That's funny.
Yeah. Try and watch Meg the same way now. But yeah, I believe they're the most moral show, probably. I don't know if they try
and,
to do
and,
that,
and I remember back in the 90s when they first got popular, that they were viewed as like one of the most... dirty shows to watch.
Well,
like,
Homer was strangling his son.
Violence.
But nowadays...
Yeah, now it's the most uplifting moral show to watch.
Now,
go figure.
Now strangling your children is...
Acceptable.
compared to what the other animated shows do.
Yeah.
Right?
Go figure.
Who would have guessed? But no, this is pretty big news. The Simpsons crossing over with Family Guy. There's a little snippet here about what the episode is about. It reads... The Griffins cross paths with Homer, who graciously greets his new albino visitors, and the two families become...
That is something that they're going to have to address, because...
One family is
Peter
yellow.
Griffin is pure white,
and the Simpsons are
the
yellow.
The Simpsons are like more of a yellowish tone.
How are they going to come to terms with that?
Yeah.
When are the Simpsons, then?
I don't know. They have a nice tan? I don't know.
Jaundiced Caucasians?
Yeah, I don't know. That is something they're going to have to address. Yeah.
I think it'll be funny. But Stewie is impressed with Bart and his assortment of pranks, and Marge and Lois do some bonding, and Peter and Homer argue over which beer is better, Pawtucket or Duff.
Duff.
Duff. Duff Man. Oh, yeah.
Yeah, Duff Man.
Oh, yeah.
I love that music in the background.
Oh, yeah. Duff Man thinks the Simpsons are better.
Duff Man likes the Crispy Noodle Podcast. Oh, yeah.
I don't know. I am Duff Man, and this is my favorite podcast in Springfield. I don't know why Duff Man is Commander Shepard.
Yeah, you ain't Commander Shepard on that one.
I'm Commander Shepard, and this is my favorite podcast on the Citadel.
All right. Well, look for that in, I don't know what season of Family Guy it is, but look for that when the animation shows start up on Fox again this fall.
Yeah, it should be pretty exciting to see creative comedy forces combine.
Oh, yeah.
All right. The next thing that we wanted to mention on the entertainment entree, it's something that I found over the weekend. It's a leaked secret tape.
Oh, man.
Yeah, you got to love leaked secret tapes, right?
Whenever there's a leaked tape, you know something's going down.
Yeah.
It's never anything good, is it?
We're hooking you guys in on the insider scoop right here. Gawker. You know the website Gawker?
Yeah.
They obtained audio of Kanye West erratically justifying his interruption of Taylor Swift after the 2009 MTV Video Music Awards. That's
really
what I meant to say.
He justified it?
Yeah.
Please tell me somebody interrupted him. Please tell me somebody interrupted him.
Well, we have people. There are people in the background that ask him a question.
Okay.
But it's pretty good.
All right.
It's
this should be interesting.
It's a little more than a minute and a half. But,
that's right.
So this is it. This is Kanye West explaining that he was right to interrupt Taylor Swift at the MTV Video Music Awards.
I'm pushing an envelope. I broke my in this town first for a month. When I heard Eminem first on the Drake, I went back and rewrote my for 2 days. I canceled appointments to rewrite. I care.
No. Dental, you know, appointments.
And that's what I'm saying. Because I did that, Taylor Swift cannot win over Beyonce. Because I wrote my verse for 2 days. As long as I'm alive. And if I'm alive, kill me then.
Oh, no.
Kill me then. As long as I'm alive, you're going to have to deal with it. Because there ain't going to be no more Elvises.
Why are you so
with no
angry?
James Brown.
So angry.
Because
Mom.
My mother got arrested for sinners. My mother died for this fame. I moved to Hollywood chasing this. My mother died because of this MTV. It ain't no love.
Yes, it is love.
What the was for Pink performing? Don't nobody know that song. Pink performed twice. Two songs. How the Pink perform twice? And I didn't even get asked to perform Heartless.
Okay, that's fine.
Heartless is the biggest song of the year. It had the most spins of the first quarter. I don't know that Pink song.
So there you go.
I don't know how much of our listeners will be able to pick up of that after we get done editing it.
Well, all right. So for those that, yeah, there is some background noise in the
quite a few F-bombs.
Yeah.
just a little bit.
Just a little bit. Kanye West says that, quote, he's pushing the envelope. I wrote my Run This Town. I guess that's a song that he does.
I don't know. I guess
I
so.
Wrote this Run This Town verse for a effing month, but Taylor Swift cannot win over Beyonce. Because I wrote my verses in 2 days, Taylor Swift cannot beat Beyonce.
Doesn't make any sense.
As long as I'm alive, and if I'm alive, kill me then. As long as I'm alive, you gonna have to deal with it, because there ain't gonna be no more MF Elvises with no James Brown.
That made no sense.
Yes.
That made zero sense. Wait.
And then he links it to racism, because
of course
because there's a girl that asks, why are you so angry about this? And Kanye West says, because my mother got arrested for the effing sit-ins. My mother died for this fame stuff. I moved to effing Hollywood chasing this stuff. My mother died because of this stuff.
What? That doesn't make any... He's not making any sense.
Kanye West must live in his own fantasy world.
Really?
Like, this is just crazy.
So,
what does...
Taylor Swift should not have won because he wrote a song for a month.
Yeah.
That doesn't make any sense because He was saying that Beyonce should win. So Beyonce should have won instead of Taylor Swift because Kanye wrote a song for a month.
and then he disses Pink. And then cuz then he complains that he didn't know what Pink was performing at the VMAs. Quote, "No, don't nobody know that song. Pink performed twice, two songs. How the F Pink performs two songs and I didn't even get asked to perform Heartless. Heartless is the biggest song of the year. It had the most spins of the first quarter. I don't know whatever that Pink song was." So, first off, he justifies him interrupting Taylor Swift for just, I through don't know
leap,
how.
Through a leap in logic that not even
Bioshock Infinite can link together. I don't know. That literally sounds like a tear in the universe.
You know, Rich.
That only Kanye West knows and we don't.
We've been recording this for about an hour. So that means that our favorite shows should win in the Emmys. Because that makes sense.
That means the newsroom should win everything.
That means
the
newsroom should win. That's his logic. He wrote a song for a month, so therefore Beyonce should win.
And then rewrote the verse in 2 days, so Taylor Swift cannot beat Beyonce.
I think Kanye thinks he's the only person in the world
who writes songs
that matters. He's like, he thinks that the sun revolves around him.
I don't know why he linked it to racism with his mom.
And why did she die for fame? What does that mean?
I don't know.
And why are you going to die for fame?
And then
why don't you just not die?
And then he complains about Pink. Like, I don't know.
Here are his talking points. If this was a PowerPoint, he'd say, "All right, folks, Beyonce should have won because I wrote a song for a month."
Wait. So this is, should I get...
Give me some like business music or something.
Business music?
I don't know if that's a thing. Excuse me, folks. My name is Kanye West. And here are my talking points for today. 1, I wrote a song for a month. 2, my mom died for racism. 3,
you just gloss that over. No big whoop.
3, I died for fame.
I'm moving out to California.
I moved out to California. Therefore, Beyonce should have won instead of Taylor Swift. Thank you. This has been a presentation.
And who the hell is Pink?
And who the hell is Pink? This has been my presentation of why I'm an asshole and why I don't understand how to give a presentation. Those were his official talking points.
That's Kanye West's PowerPoint presentation.
Yes.
I don't know how that makes sense.
It doesn't.
Yeah.
Because it doesn't. Not even in the Bioshock Infinite universe, like you said.
Yeah. You would need a tear to explain something like that. You would. But that was just a weird
clip. It's just a rambling, incoherent mess. I mean, that was worse than some of our transitions.
Yeah.
I know some women who could hide a machine gun in there. Yeah.
That was a bad one.
Yeah.
All right. And of course me. All right. So there you go. I had to bring that up. I just found that audio.
Kanye West.
Well, Gawker had the audio and I found it online, so I had to bring it up.
Kanye West digging an even deeper hole.
Yeah.
How do people still enjoy Kanye West?
I don't know. I don't know.
Aren't you hip to the rap music?
I'm not hip to that rap music.
I guess
apparently.
There's some people that are hip to that rap music.
Yeah.
These hoes, they think they classy. Well, that's the class I'm skipping.
That made more sense than what Kanye just said.
These hoes, they think they classy. Well, that's the class I'm skipping.
We could just scream for the next half hour and have it make more sense.
Rich Liebig, Rich Liebig. Ooh, a little Rich Liebig now.
Give me my juice box! I need my juice box! I say, give me it now.
See, people hear that and they say, well, clearly Mike really wants a juice box. And he's angry about it.
And Rich Liebig is just...
is introducing himself in the only way he knows how.
Yeah.
But you can't say what Kanye is trying to make a point about.
No.
There's
that was a crazy
there's no
rambling.
Thesis statement. There's no...
Are you trying to grade this on a college scale?
If you take that text and copy-paste it into a Word document, have somebody read it, they would have no idea what was happening.
Yeah.
Well, so, if you want to read the text, it's on Gawker.com, and the audio is also there as well.
I would be interested in reading that because I understood very little of it. But going from one musical jerk to another musical jerk.
Perfect transition.
Oh, that's the only way to describe Mr. Scott Weiland from the Stone Temple Pilots.
Yeah.
What happened? So he's just making just like Kanye. He's Scott, causing problems.
Yeah, Scott Whelan causing major problems, so much so that Stone Temple Pilots have actually kicked him out of the band, and it's legal now. It's officially, he's out, he's kaput.
So let me get this straight. He caused so many problems that they said, you know what, we don't need our lead singer.
Our lead singer and one of the co-founders of this band,
right.
We don't need him.
As you know, this is nothing new for him because he was also kicked out of Velvet Revolver.
That's right. Yeah, with your boy Slash.
That's right, Slash and the other ex-Guns N' Roses members. It was one time considered a super group. He was kicked out of that band. Now he's kicked out of his own band.
Yeah, his own band now. Wow. I mean,
why? What prompted them to do this? Is there any report about what he did or said?
Just differences and splitting the money. Yeah,
the
just
classic creative differences
and splitting the money. Apparently,
He's a regular Axl Rose, isn't he?
Going back
to the Guns N' Roses thing.
Yeah, he might be our generation's Axl Rose at this point. I mean, yeah, he caused the breakup of Velvet Revolver with Slash, and now. Getting kicked out of Stone Temple Pilots.
He is this generation's Axl Rose.
That's
because
two he split major up with Slash. Bands.
He split up with Slash, so he is the next.
It's the same one.
It's the same one.
I didn't realize that. Yeah.
It's Axl Rose 2.0. Except with this time, the Stone Temple Pilots thankfully got to stay together, whereas Axl Rose ousted everyone from Guns N' Roses, and now they are something.
Yeah, I don't know what they've ended up being.
Hopefully Stone Temple Pilots won't go down the same path.
Yeah, but as for Stone Temple Pilots, what they have decided to do was send out the feelers for replacing Scott Whelan, and right. they have decided on the lead singer of Linkin Park, Chester Bennington.
Okay.
Yeah. He's apparently decided to join the cause, and now Chester Bennington, you know, old spiky-haired blonde guy from 2002, is now in charge of Linkin Park and Stone Temple Pilots right now. Well, and he also has an independent band going on right now. But
that's a lot of work. I mean, yeah. Two pretty big bands.
Yeah, two major bands right now.
They're both active right now, aren't they?
Yeah.
Yeah.
So
a lot of work ahead for him.
What do you think of this move?
Well, I think Scott Whelan is obviously a problem.
Yeah, obviously. This is bad.
I think that was a good move. I don't know about the Linkin Park lead singer. What was his name?
Chester Bennington.
Linkin Park is okay. I'm trying to recall what their music is like. I'm trying to think if it would mesh with the Stone Temple Pilots.
It's also interesting right now that whenever they're promoting the band, whenever STP is promoting themselves to get around the loophole that Scott Whelan is not there, it's that they label it as Stone Temple Pilots featuring Chester Bennington, and that's how they get around the loophole.
Yeah, I just looked it up on YouTube. That's exactly what it says, featuring Chester Bennington. Should we play
let's play a snippet of it. Let's hear how he's sounding with Stone Temple Pilots.
So again, this is Out of Time by the Stone Temple Pilots featuring Chester Bennington. Longing is the animal inside you when you suffering is critical in finding what you need. Deliverance is evident. There's more than what you say. Pain is there the moment that you wake up from your dreams. Oh, I know you can't hide. Oh, when you look inside,
there you go.
So there you go. Out of Time, the new song by the Stone Temple Pilots featuring Chester Bennington.
Bennington, yep.
Bennington, yes.
That really doesn't sound like a rock name. Chester Bennington.
Oh, yes. I sing for the rock and roll group known as Stone Temple Pilots.
Oh, yes. Chester Bennington. So what did you think? Do you think he can pull it off?
You know what? I think so. He's adapted his vocals differently for this group.
Yeah, it doesn't sound like Linkin Park.
The beginning was reminiscent of like 80s music almost, a little bit.
Like 80s rock?
Like 80s rock, yeah. Like a higher pitch sort of like screechy type singing. But then it's as the song progressed, it came back into like the alternative umbrella.
Yeah, the actual song itself sounds like Stone Temple Pilots.
Yeah,
like they have not changed the musical direction of the band.
No, I liked it. I thought it was pretty good.
I think it could work.
I think so.
I'm interested to see this new chapter of Stone Temple Pilots mixed with Chester Bennington of Linkin Park.
They should call themselves Stone Temple Park. Combine the two names.
Well, then
it would still be STP.
Yeah, it sounds like you'd have to. It sounds like you're mixing all of Linkin Park together.
Why not?
Too.
Stone Temple Linkin Park.
Instead of saying Stone Temple Pilots featuring Chester Bennington.
Chester Bennington.
That just rolls off the tongue, doesn't it?
Chester Bennington.
Yes, I'd like the next Stone Temple Pilots featuring Chester Bennington album. Sir, please leave. No, it's real, I swear.
They had Slash. Slash has the album where it's Slash featuring Miles Kennedy.
That's true. That's true. That was a pretty good album, too.
Yeah, and that is a good album.
But Chester Bennington.
Chester Bennington.
Either come up, shorten that name, or just go by Chester.
Chester Bennington.
Chester Bennington. The third. He should
the
add
third.
Like, the third.
Yeah, you know what? At that point, go all the way out.
Yes, Chester Bennington.
Chester Bennington, Esquire.
Esquire. Lord Chester Bennington, the third, Esquire, Junior, Senior.
Wow, he's both a junior and a senior.
It's a very complicated family
history.
Yeah,
that sounds like incest there. What the?
Whoa.
Yeah, what the hell's going on?
All right, so that is the brand new Stone Temple Pilots.
Woo! Rocking it.
Yeah.
I can't wait to see what else they do.
Yeah, I might have to go get that song from iTunes. Pretty good.
But you know what? Weird things happening, new faces, new stories. You know what that means?
I think I do.
It's time for our non-fortune cookie odd news.
So sit back, get everything you need to get from the kitchen. Be sure and empty the bladders and go to the bathroom because you're in for a hell of a ride.
This is your favorite part of the show,
this
right, Mike?
This is my favorite part. Some of our best, most of our best moments come from this segment. We're talking about bears on the run and James Bond goats and machine guns up you know where. So we always have some awesome stuff in the non-fortune cookie odd news.
You know what? Since we ended that last story on a musical note, I'm going to switch around my news here to start off with this story.
Okay. We're switching it up.
All right. You ready for this one?
Of course.
Frontman Mike Score of that band that you're of that song that you were talking about that we riffed on, the Flock of Taxis.
Oh yeah.
Well, this has to do with the band The Flock of Seagulls.
No, really.
Frontman Mike Score told the LA Daily News that around 1:45 a.m. over the weekend, their band's van was broken into and a thief robbed $70,000 worth of equipment.
Oh my gosh.
Yeah. Oh, got away with that one too.
You know what they need?
What?
They need a taxi.
Yeah, they needed a flock of taxis.
That really sucks, though.
Yeah, it sucks for them. Surveillance footage obtained from KTLA 5 shows that the band's large white van was being driven out of the Comfort Inn Hotel where the band was staying for the night. Some estimated that $70,000 worth of property was stolen, including instruments, studio equipment, band merchandise, and $10,000 in, quote, high-end stage clothes.
Okay.
$10,000 in clothes?
What type of clothes are these?
Yeah.
They're like studded with diamonds?
Are they from the 80s?
Are they? They're vintage from the 80s.
Yeah. Most upsetting to Score was losing all of his hard drive files from his first and nearly finished solo album.
Oh.
He has to do all that work again if he wants to do
it.
You know,
the guy that robbed them is a jerk.
Yeah.
Really? You messed with the stone... I was about to say the Stone Temple Pilots.
No, this is a flock of seagulls.
The flock of seagulls. Hey, you know, you don't want to mess with a flock of seagulls. They're dangerous animals.
The band had to use rented equipment. What?
What did you... I made a joke.
Sorry, I'm ready to finish my report.
Sorry.
The band used rented equipment to perform at another show for the following day, and they're going to leave London to continue its tour. So that's good. They're not going to let it stop their tour.
Hey, you got to keep on rocking, man.
Yeah. Especially this awesome new wave music.
I know.
Yeah. Just a shame that nobody was watching out for the van. Really?
Yeah.
You couldn't get a roadie? Somebody? No?
They couldn't afford a roadie, I guess.
Yeah.
Because the roadie ran so far away.
That robber did.
That robber did.
Yeah, he had to... With all that equipment, $70,000 worth of equipment?
Wow. What did he transport all that equipment in?
The cargo van.
Oh, he stole the van.
Yeah.
Oh, he stole the whole van.
Yeah.
Oh, wow.
Yeah. There you go. That'll do it.
Yeah.
So sorry to hear that from our fellow bandmates.
They really do need a taxi now.
They need anything at this point. We'll accept any form of transportation.
Our drum kit consists of some pots and pans.
They will accept anything right now.
Hopefully they'll catch the guy and everything will be squared away.
But I hope so.
Too bad for the flock of seagulls. Though, if they want, maybe they can come over to the Crispy Noodle and we can record...
We could fill in for them.
We could do Flock of Taxis and we could create more money for them.
That's right.
With our album.
So they can buy new equipment.
Yeah. Come on over. It'll be great.
Our Smash LP.
Your mom will make coffee. It'll be great. And your dad will rant about sausages.
That's right.
What could go wrong?
Nothing at all.
No.
And I've been waiting all week to have a hot dog and a hamburger.
So there you go. You could rant.
He could talk with
no sausages. No sausages. No. No sausages. Sausages!
He could talk with them about hamburgers and hot dogs and no sausages.
Yeah. All right, you ready for our next story?
Yep.
This one is pretty interesting. Science has once again stepped up to the plate, in a manner of speaking, because a new scientific study has said that singing happy birthday actually makes the cake taste better. The study, which was published in the upcoming issue of the journal Psychological Science, finds that the ritual of singing before eating a slice of cake or any other dessert increases your appreciation of the treat, and the result is that the food ends up tasting better.
Will this work with regular food as well?
It says dessert specifically.
Specifically?
It most works with desserts.
So say this. Say if society started a new trend of singing like...
Happy birthday to you. Happy birthday to you. Cake.
So you're actually singing to the cake.
Yeah, you have to sing to the cake and it'll be 10 times better.
So my question is obviously this is an evolutionary thing. When we started singing happy birthday, it became associated with fun times and dessert, so therefore it makes dessert taste better. So if as a society we start singing...
Before every dessert?
No, before every meal. Like, let's say we sing Welcome to the Jungle before we eat pizza. In 100 years of this...
You and your Guns N' Roses today.
Yeah, I just...
It's because of Scott Weiland?
Yeah, Guns N' Roses, man.
Axl Rose 2.0.
Axl Rose 2.0. No, but I'm saying as a society, if we start this trend, then eventually down the line, people will be able to sing Welcome to the Jungle, and then their pizza will taste better.
I don't know.
You're not even touching that, are you?
No, I don't know. Specifically, the study says it specifically works with dessert. So,
well, I mean,
I don't know.
Going on the psychology of it, it's like a learned evolutionary human trait, I guess, because you automatically associate happy birthday with good times and cake.
Good times! Woo!
That's right.
Yeah. Now this will make the cake better.
This makes anything better.
Yeah.
Good times, come on!
Yeah! That'll make anything taste better.
Quick, somebody get us a cake.
Yeah, we need cake now!
Woo-hoo! Anyway.
Another significant finding was that this ritualistic enjoyment applied only to your own personal behaviors, meaning that if you watch somebody else eat the cake and you don't get the cake, you don't find it enjoyable.
Because you're not eating cake.
Yeah. This is what scientists are doing with the money that we're giving
scientists
them.
Scientists said, okay, if you watch somebody else eat cake, you will not be enjoying the cake.
Wow. Good one.
Awesome. Somebody gets a suitcase full of money, you will in fact not get money.
Therefore, you will not be happy.
It doesn't make any sense. Like, obviously, if I'm not eating the cake, I can't enjoy the cake. I can't sit there and go, oh, wow, that cake looks awesome. I'm really enjoying looking at it.
It's not contagious.
Oh, you just had cake. I can taste it. That would be really creepy.
That would be insanely creepy.
You just walk in and be like, Rich, did you just have a piece of cake?
That would be too creepy.
I can taste the cake that you just ate.
Peanut butter
jelly. Yeah. So that's what it would be like if you could.
Wow. All right, then. I don't know how that connects, but it's out there. We just got to... It happened.
Yeah, all right. I'm doing my own scientific study here.
Our scientific study. When you play Peanut Butter Jelly Time and then the psycho music, everyone becomes confused.
Yes.
Rich Liebig, copyright.
2013
science.
Science. I copyright this science in the name of more science. Good job, Rich.
Thank you. Thank you. It's a tough job. Somebody's got to do it.
I didn't know you could copyright an entire field of study.
All right. I guess with that, we should move on to the next story.
Okay.
All right. Our next story. A Ohio teenager has a big problem because he accidentally inhaled before he put his lips on a homemade blow dart gun. What happened?
No.
Instead of blowing the dart out, he sucked it in. And it got lodged in his throat.
She's gone from suck to blow.
This went from blow to suck.
Yeah, this went the other way, actually. The boy had made both the guns and the darts after getting information from the internet.
Always a reliable source.
Yeah, great way to...
They showed him how to use it, too, right?
The internet was speaking to me in tongues.
There you go.
I know all about it.
He had apparently been coughing and wheezing for 3 hours... before he decided to go to the emergency room. So he thought it could be all right.
It'll work its way out.
The boy was 15 years old. He did not actually tell doctors right away that he inhaled the dart. But eventually he had to mention it when they took an x-ray and the doctors pointed it out to him.
He's like, did you know you have a dart stuck in your esophagus? No.
No. I
what?
Wonder,
yeah, what could when did that happen? That? Are you sure, doctor?
All right. Okay.
Yeah. See, I just...
That's him trying to deflect it at the doctor's office.
Yeah, just go out in. No big whoop.
Have you eaten any darts lately? No. Not at all.
The 15-year-old did survive, and he will be all right.
Well, that's good.
There was also 2 other cases of this that happened in the past month.
Look. Don't use blowguns unless you need to, for Christ's sake.
Blowgun darts.
Blowgun darts.
Yeah.
Or if you're going to do it, make sure you're doing it right.
I know.
Blow, not suck.
She's gone from suck to blow.
That's what you need to do. You need to go from suck.
Listen to Colonel Sanders. Colonel Sanders has got it right.
She's gone from suck to blow.
That's all you need to know.
Yeah.
Hey, that rhymes.
Go from suck to blow. That's all you need to know.
All right.
Miguel Costanzo.
Oh, my God, no.
Is that what I think it is?
Oh, yes. Miguel Costanzo here to give you lovely, lovely advice with your ladies in the bedroom. Make sure you are sucking and blowing, if you know what I mean. Like a vacuum cleaner.
Whoa. We got to keep this family friendly here. He was talking about doing household chores.
Yes, we're talking about vacuum cleaners. What did you think?
What did you guys think we were talking about?
Yeah, Miguel Costanzo is interested in cleaning supplies.
Yeah, of course.
And ladies that also do it as well.
Oh, yeah. Clean for me. That's going to become a clip
that
now.
That came from Mike. Jesus that Christ. Did not come from me.
Oh, my God. That's going to become a clip, isn't
it? Put that on the record. That came from Mike. That did not come from me.
All right. Let's get back to our PG rating. Or at least try to.
Barely. all 3 teens that suffered from sucking in the blow dart as opposed to blowing it out required bronchoscopic procedures to remove the darts. And luckily, none of them suffered any punctures with large blood vessels, so nobody got hurt. So, there you go.
Stop using the blowgun darts.
Yeah.
That's all you got to do. How dumb are people? Obviously dumb because you're laughing at the next story already. Are you going to be able to make it through it?
Maybe.
Maybe. Such great confidence.
Yeah, this next story is very appropriate.
Okay.
In our next story...
I'm laughing. I don't even know what it's about.
A woman was found naked... with her head wedged between 2 stair railings in front of her home in Russia.
Only in Russia.
She said she got stuck there because she was having sex with her husband and she wanted to, quote, spice things up.
By sticking her head in between the railings?
The husband didn't stick around to help his lover out of the jam.
Wow.
So
he just bailed on her?
See ya.
He didn't even
put her pants back on or anything.
He just left.
Quick, I'll be right back.
Oh my gosh. Oh.
Wait, why did she stuck her head between the railings?
She thought it was going to spice things up.
How? That doesn't make any sense.
She thought it would be exotic, I
Is
guess.
Is that like a new fetish? Like getting your head stuck in railings?
Oh, I just want Bootley, homie.
She just wanted her boyfriend. Jeez, the
husband. I can't believe the husband just bailed on her.
I know. What was his excuse for bailing?
Doesn't say. Just bailed.
Just up and left. He's like,
I'm done here.
I'm done. Well, my job here is done. Yes, very good. I go to bar now. My name Ivan. I go to bar now. You stay here. I come back. Finish job later.
Well, luckily, the police eventually showed up.
Have they found the boyfriend yet?
He's just gone, isn't he? He just like left the country.
Oh my god! I can't believe just stick around.
Why
I'm
would
done.
You?
That's it.
Why would he leave?
Oh my god! That is the biggest douchebag ever.
I know, really. You know what? You know why he left? Because he's embarrassed to say that he's the one that suggested it.
Yeah, you think so?
That's what happened. He's like, oh, you know,
I'm interested in furniture supplies.
Oh, you know what to be hot? Stick your head in railing. Oh, yes. Oh, yes. Head in railing. Oh. He's Russian now?
It's
Nikolai Costanzo.
Comrade. Oh, yes. Comrade.
Comrade Nikolai Costanzo. I can do Russian accent. Stick head in banister. It's very sexy Russia. In Russia, we don't have many ideas of what to do. We stick head in railing, that best idea so far.
In Russia, you don't climb stairs, stairs climb you.
Oh my gosh. So, wow. Apparently, don't try and spice things up in Russia because if things go wrong, you're on your own. Can't believe that. The boyfriend just left.
I know.
It's just... What a prick!
That is the definition of a prick, literally and figuratively.
I can't believe he did that. I want to know where he went. Like, I really did he just like go out to get a pack of smokes, figured out, come back later, and he saw the police, was like, oh, I can't go back there now.
Oh, what a story there.
I don't know. I just don't know. People.
I just up and left.
Well, see ya.
Yeah,
Wham, bam, thank you, ma'am.
Hey, guys. Oh, big gulps, huh? All right. Well, see you later.
Well, see you later.
That is the true definition of wham, bam, thank you, ma'am.
Oh,
he couldn't stand
gosh.
Around. He couldn't stick around to get her head out of the railing.
Can you discipline him?
Oh, kinky.
Is that his type of discipline?
Maybe. Just leave her there.
Can you discipline him?
Oh, kinky.
How can you
leave her there?
I know.
Like,
what was your thought process? Like, wow, that was great. And I will see you another time. Did they get her out of the railing?
Yeah, they did. Okay. The police came and they got her out. But, oh my gosh, you gotta be a prick. That is the definition of a prick.
You gotta be a prick.
It is. They just... up and left her there. So what have we learned today?
Do not suck on blow dart guns. Do not stick your head in railings. I think those are the two main pieces of advice. Crispy noodle advice.
The crispy noodle advice for today.
All right, we have our informative music.
Yeah. Just do us all a favor. If a woman is stuck naked... and she can't get out of a piece of furniture.
And it was your fault.
And it was your fault. Just stay. Help the police. Be kind. Don't be a prick. Rich Liebig, thank you.
We should make that a new segment.
What have we learned?
What have we learned today? It'll be like Kanye West with his talking points.
Oh my god. Yeah, you can't learn anything from that.
Oh wow. The odd news made more sense than Kanye West. To a certain degree.
Yeah.
Maybe not quite.
All right.
Wow. All right. Now we can end the show.
Now all right. Yes. Do I have your permission? Can we end the show?
You have my permission. God be with you.
Praise the glorious leader.
I'm so out of it right now.
All right. Mike's out of it. We got to end the show.
We got to end this.
Woo! Celebration music on. That officially means it's time to end the show. Oh. What a crazy episode of the Crispy Noodle Podcast. Yeah. Jam-packed. We had to cover so much ground in that.
Oh, I know. It was just nonstop laughs there at the end.
Yeah. Well, if you want more laughs, make sure to check out thecrispynoodle.com, our official website. Also, follow us on Facebook at the Crispy... Or that's Twitter. Sorry. Facebook is just the Crispy Noodle. There's no at. But if you're on Twitter and you want
that's
the
right.
at...
There you go.
And you want the at, that's at the Crispy Noodle. I know my social media.
There you go. We figured it out.
And we're also on YouTube. Search the Crispy Noodle. Find our latest promos there. And make sure to subscribe to us on iTunes.
That's the most important part.
Because that's how you get the latest episodes as soon as they are published and available.
That's right. You can get the latest in the crazy sports, entertainment, and odd news stories that we cover.
That's right. So make sure you do that. If you want to follow us individually, I am at Rich Liebig, RichLiebig.
And I'm at Mikey Costanzo, MikeyCostanzo.
And there you go. That'll do it. That's all your avenues. Make sure you get into contact with us. All right? Sound good?
Sounds good to me.
All right. All right. Mike's about to collapse from laughing so much. So that's our cue. We'll head out of here. I'm Rich Liebig.
And I'm Michael Costanzo.
And this has been the Crispy Noodle Podcast. Let us be the crispy noodle in your vegetarian salad of life and boring news. We'll see you guys next week.
See ya.
Bye-bye.
Some of us have great stories, pretty stories that take place at lakes with boats and friends and noodle salad. A lot of people, that's their story. Good times, noodle salad.
We're going to do it the American way. I'm going to get the hot dog right off the grill. It's an American holiday. We're going to have American hamburgers.
Everywhere around the world, they come into America. Every time that flag's unfurled, they come into America. They come into America.
No sausages! No sausages!
They come to America!
No sausages!
They come to America today!
It's American! No sausages!
Today!
It's American! No sausages!
Today!
It's American! No sausages!
Today!
Hot dogs and hamburgers are better than sausages!